Well, good morning and welcome to New Life Community Church of the Nazarene. It is a joy to see a part of your faces. Just so you know, yes, we are observing the face mask things. The only reason I don't have mine on is because Courtney asked me not to. It makes it very difficult to mic. You know, it's really interesting that going to church is a wonderful blessing, and being together to worship is a wonderful blessing. But we have to do it in a way that is responsible, in a way that is honoring, a way that makes us good neighbors in our society. And so as we gather today, we're trying to do that, and we're trying to honor the Lord and all that. But happy Father's Day. I don't know how many of you out there are fathers. Some of you are. Happy Father's Day. I know you all have fathers. Yeah. You may not all have dads, but you all have fathers. You have someone who contributed to you being here today. And it may not have been a good father. May have been. I don't know. I was blessed. I had a wonderful father. He has been gone now for 21 years. Hard to believe. But what a blessing to have him. The good news is we all have a Father in heaven. Our Father that is in heaven, hallowed be his name. You see, we come to him and we acknowledge that he is our God, he is our Father, he is our protector, he is our provider. Everything that is good about fathers and fatherhood comes from watching him and being like him. So as we gather together today, we're going to be talking about being fitted, having shoes on our feet, sandals on our feet, that are the preparation for going into battle and winning this battle. And this preparation is the gospel of peace. We're going to be talking about that. Josh has given us one meaning of that phrase, to be ready at all times to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm going to be telling you something a little bit different, and that's okay, because it's all packaged in that passage. And so I chose to start today with the Gospel of John, chapter 16, verse 33. And Jesus has been talking to his disciples. It's the passage where he starts this whole conversation with the idea that he is going to his Father who is in heaven. He is leaving them, and they don't really want to hear that. And so he's talking about that, and he's talking about the fact that he's leaving them and how good that is for them. And then he comes to the end of this section of it, and he says in John 16:33, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me, in Jesus, you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation." Any arguments with that? In the world you have tribulation. "But take courage," he says, "for I have overcome the world." That is really, really good news. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that and what it means to be fitted with the preparation that comes from the gospel of peace. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege that we have to gather on this Father's Day. Thank you that you are our Father in heaven, that you have knit us together. You are the reason that we exist. You have lavished your love and your mercy and your grace on us. You have protected us and provided for us. You have wisdom to offer us, knowledge and insight to help us. And Lord, we thank you that you are our Father today. Lord, I pray for every man that is a father that you would give them your grace to be the best father they can be, to learn from you and to follow you and to become like you for their children. And Lord, it doesn't matter where we are in life. We can always become better at being the father you want us to be. Lord, help us to do that, that you would be glorified in us and through us. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. I have this poem that kind of sort of, I was debating whether I was going to use it today. But in light of your desire to have the Holy Spirit lead you, guide you, and direct you, I found this poem yesterday when I was looking for a poem that would talk about the firm foundation that we need, the firm footing that we need. And you're going to wonder, how on earth does this fit in? But it's called Veni Creator Spiritus, or Come, Spirit Creator, the Creator Spirit, come. Creator Spirit, by whose aid the world's foundations first were laid, come visit every pious mind. Come pour thy joys on humankind. From sin and sorrow set us free, and make thy temples worthy thee. O source of uncreated light, the Father's promised paraclete, thrice holy fount, thrice holy fire, our hearts with heavenly love inspire. Come and thy sacred unction bring to sanctify us while we sing. Plenteous of grace descend from high. Reach in thy sevenfold, rich in thy sevenfold energy, thou strength of his almighty hand, whose power does heaven and earth command. Proceeding spirit, our defense, who dost the gift of tongues dispense, and crown'st thy gift with eloquence. Refine and purge our earthly parts, but oh, inflame and fire our hearts. Our frailties help, our vice control. Submit the senses to the soul. And when rebellious they are grown, then lay thy hand and hold them down. Chase from our minds the infernal foe, and peace, the fruit of love, bestow. And lest our feet should step astray, protect and guide us in the way. Make us eternal truths receive, and practice all that we believe. Give us thyself that we may see the Father and the Son by thee. Immortal honor, endless fame, attend the Almighty Father's name. The Savior Son be glorified, who for lost man's redemption died, and equal adoration be, eternal paraclete to thee. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, to empower us, to chase from our minds the infernal foe, and peace, the fruit of love, bestow. And lest our feet should step astray, protect and guide us in the way.
Come between me and God. One day we'll live together where the angels dry. Me and God. Early in the morning, talking it over. Me and God. Late at night, talking it over. Me and God. Could say we're like two peas in a pod, me and God. He's my Father, he's my friend, love beginning and forgives me when I'm wrong, me and God. He's the one I lean on when life gets hard, me and God. He's my Father, He's my friend, the beginning and the end. He rules the world with the staff and the rod. We're a team, me and God.
So as we continue our series on spiritual warfare, today we're looking at a section in the passage that has some of the most convoluted Greek there. And it is translated, interpreted, looked at a lot of different ways. And there's a lot of options that... we got to get this thing out of the way, sorry. There's a lot of options that commentators provide with it. But it's just one of the parts of armor, and it's absolutely indispensable. So we're going to spend a little bit of time on it. Let me read Ephesians 6, verses 10 to 20 again, and then we will talk about the preparation of the gospel of peace. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand, therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints and also for me, that words may be given to me in opening my mouth boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Father, help us today to hear your word, to understand your word, and to apply your word to our hearts and to our lives, that you might be glorified in us and through us. In Jesus' precious holy name, amen. So as we have been talking about this, the very first thing that I wanted to do is get you all to wake up. I didn't yell. Wake up. You see, we're living in a two realms scenario. We live and move and have our being in this physical material world, but there is a spiritual world that is bigger, more real, more permanent than this world that we walk in. And we need to wake up to that fact and to realize that and to embrace that truth and to recognize that because of that, we're living on a battlefield. That every day we encounter the attacks of an enemy that we cannot see. And he so often uses the things that are within us to confuse us and to deceive us and to lead us astray. And the very first thing that we need to do is wake up and realize that we're participating in this battle. The second thing we need to know is, well, who is the enemy? Because oftentimes we get wounded or we get sideswiped by human beings and we can think that they're the enemy. The guy that cut me off in traffic is the enemy. The person who said nasty things about me is the enemy. The person that was ungrateful for all that I had been sacrificing, they're the enemy. No, they're not. The enemy is Satan and the spiritual forces of wickedness. Now, it's true that they sometimes do use people. And people do sometimes become tools in their hand. But we need to realize that the real enemy is Satan and the spiritual forces of wickedness, because even that really difficult, obstinate person that drives us absolutely nuts, you know who I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Okay. Even that person, God loves and God desires to redeem, to reconcile, and to renew. And so we have to have that attitude, that mindset, that worldview regarding every person that we encounter. The enemy is not the person. The enemy lies behind that person. Third, we looked at the verbs in the text and we began to answer the question, what is a person to do? And the thing that we need to understand is that, yes, we are participants in this battle. But as we looked at this, we realized that we are to be filled with the presence and the power of God and clothed in the armor of God. God does all the heavy lifting and we just cooperate with him. We allow it to happen. The war has already been won. Hallelujah. That is seriously good news. But we get to participate in the battle. We get to participate and try to push back the forces of darkness. And we do this by putting on the belt of truth, aligning ourselves with that which is really real. And part of that is, once again, just acknowledging that there are these two realms and aligning ourselves with the truths of the spiritual and the supernatural. And part of it then is aligning ourselves with this reality that many people don't want to embrace, that we are estranged from God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that we cannot help ourselves, but that God can help us. And has in and through the person of Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And so we trust in him. We come to him and we align ourselves with him. And we believe his words when he said, no one comes to the Father except through me. A lot of people in the world don't like that. That sounds really narrow-minded. And that it's, you know, it's egotistical to think that you have the way and nobody else does. It's not at all about me, and it's not egotistical. It's about God, and it's about God's will and God's way and God's truth. And he's the one that makes the rules, not us. We just have to align ourselves with them. So we have to put on that belt of truth. We have to stay in the Word. Because the Word reveals the truth. The Word makes that truth known. Then we clothe ourselves in Jesus' righteousness. We take on that breastplate of righteousness. Once again, the breastplate of righteousness belongs to God. It belongs to Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ is the only fully righteous one. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God except Jesus Christ, our Lord. And so when we put on this breastplate of righteousness, we are putting on the righteousness that Jesus Christ has earned for us. And we are arming ourselves by wearing that. But then, as I said last week, we need to live into that, and our actions need to begin to conform to the actions of Jesus Christ. And we need to live into that righteousness. Today, we're looking at the preparation of the gospel of peace, or as it says in the ESV, the readiness given by the gospel of peace. As shoes on your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. I am actually going to do something that Tom, you're just going to nearly fall over. You know, because I'm going to actually start looking for my NIV translation of this. Is it possible that I could do that? Well, this is actually New American Standard, sorry. But that's only because that's the Bible that was up. Get it in the NIV for me, Tom. But and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Tom, what does the NIV say? Hang on, I need you mic'd.
And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from
the gospel of peace.
Having your feet, we got the last part of that. Go ahead.
And with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace.
Okay, so you had readiness in there. New American Standard says the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, most of the time when I was growing up and I was hearing this, okay, first of all, an army marches on its feet, right? And an army stands on its feet. And feet obviously are really good, and you're only as stable as the footing that you have beneath you. Have any of you ever been on an unsure footing? Have you ever been standing on something where you just felt the ground kind of shifting and sliding beneath you? Heather? Oh, yeah. So our son Isaac, this is a great example. Why didn't I think of it yesterday when I was preparing my sermon? Who knows? Anyway, our son Isaac was walking, and he was walking along a fence line, and there was a river, and then there was a barbed wire fence line, and he was walking along the non-river side of the barbed wire fence line, and as he was walking along, all of a sudden, the ground gave out beneath him, because obviously the river had undercut that portion of the bank, and he went down, and yeah, he got himself all torn up with barbed wire and stuff like that as he was out there. And you know, thankfully it was my son, and he's always prepared, and he took care of it, and he didn't let anyone know until much later. But I mean, yeah, it sounds like a lot of young men, you know. Kids do that. They hide that kind of stuff. But anyway, you know, we are only as sure as the footing that we have underneath. And I have been on a trail where the trail is just this eyebrow that runs across a slope, and that slope it feels loose and everything, and it's really insecure until you get to the other side. The Roman soldiers had these shoes that had nails studded in them and everything to give them a really good foundation under their feet. And we need to have our feet fitted with a really good foundation. And when I was growing up, I always kind of heard this as being prepared to preach the good news, prepared to proclaim the good news. And I'm not saying that's wrong necessarily, but it struck me yesterday as I was studying, and then as I read the commentary, they agreed with me, and I was like, oh, wow, that's cool. It struck me that until you have received personally the gospel of peace, and until you have anchored yourself in what God has done for you, you can't really stand against the enemy. You see, the truth is that we have to be standing in and on and by and through Jesus Christ. He is the solid rock. I almost called you, Josh, yesterday and asked you to change your songs. He's tired. And sing the solid rock. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so as we're thinking about this, it says, once the breastplate has been fitted into position, the soldier puts on his strong army boots, his caligae. Josephus describes them as shoes thickly studded with sharp nails. The writer is referring here, though, not just to the Roman soldier, but to an Old Testament image. And the text in Isaiah 52:7 is what I want us to look at momentarily. In Isaiah 52:7, we have an allusion to something that I think is really important, and I think it was in the mind of the writer, I believe it was Paul, of this passage. And I'm going to go back and, you know, no surprise, read from verse 3. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at the first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrian oppressed them for nothing. Now therefore, what have I here, declares the Lord, seeing that my people are taken away for nothing? Their rulers wail, declares the Lord, and continually all day my name is despised. Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day they shall know that it is I who speak. Here I am. Now, the reason I read that for you is this is a passage about Israel being taken into captivity. This is a passage about them being carried away. This is a passage about them not having a good story, not having something positive. This is a story of brokenness, and God sees it. And God says, I am going to do something about this. I am going to intercede. And then we get this verse. He is the one, it says, therefore in that day they shall know that it is I who speak. Here I am. And then we get these words. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace or proclaims peace, who brings good news of happiness, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. You see, the image here once again is of God coming in, his people being beaten down, his people being scattered, his people being abused. And once again, it's God who comes in and rescues them. Ephesians chapter 2 says that we were by nature objects of God's wrath. But, because of his great mercy, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. We go on a little bit further into chapter 2 of Ephesians. For he himself, Jesus Christ, is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in the ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came and preached peace to you who were far off, and peace to those who were near. So as I was looking at this passage, what does it mean to have your feet shod with the preparation that comes from the gospel of peace? It means being made right and at peace with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord. It means accepting the peace that comes, that has been purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it is when you stand in that peace and in the presence of God, knowing that you are right with God, that you can then operate in right relationship towards others and have peace with them, recognizing that God desires to bring healing and wholeness to them as well. And that you can then proclaim the peace to them, the means of peace, which is Jesus Christ. I don't know. If you are this way or not. But it's really hard to stand firm if you're uncertain and unsure. It's really hard to stand firm if you're uncertain and you're unsure. You have paths before you. You make a decision. You try to do something. You think it's the best. I mean, you're not sure, and your mind waffles, and your emotions go back and forth, and you're like, am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing the right thing? And that lack of peace, that lack of certainty, can cause you to waffle. It can cause you to go to and fro. And the only place that we can be absolutely certain and firm and secure is when we are standing in the peace that comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we know that we are in him and we are right with God, and we will strive to be right with those around us. But knowing that you are right with God enables you to withstand enormous pressure, to move and to stray. Have your feet been shod with the preparation that comes from the gospel of peace, the good news of peace that has been purchased through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior? There's a poem that Rudyard Kipling wrote, and I don't want to necessarily read the whole thing to you, but I've always been struck by the first line of it. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you. If you can keep your head, if you can keep your cool, if you can stay firm and certain and secure when all around you people are running, the sky is falling, the earth is ending, it's danger, desperation, and despair everywhere. And it's your fault. If you can keep your head in that moment, Rudyard Kipling doesn't go there, but I'll go there. Then your feet have been shod with the preparation that comes from the gospel of peace. You are anchored in Jesus Christ, and your feet are firm in him. And you can say, you know what? Yeah, in this world we have tribulation. And in this world, there's difficulties, and it comes in all kinds of ways and all kinds of pressures and all kinds of times. But praise God, Jesus has overcome this world. And I can stand firm and secure in Him. I can keep my heart and my mind fixed and focused on Him. I am at peace. It is possible to be at peace in the midst of the chaos of this world, but only if your feet are firmly fixed in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, help us today and every day to make sure that we know where our feet are, that they are standing firmly rooted, established, fixed, nailed down to the rock that you have provided, the rock that is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us not to stray or to be removed from that firm foundation. For we only have that in Jesus Christ. So help us to stand in the peace that He has purchased for us. For it's in His name we come to you. And through His Spirit that we pray to you. Amen. Go in that peace. God bless you as you go.